Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell, lead pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I want to talk to you in the next few moments about God is your provider. All of us at times need to be reminded that our provision isn't our job. Our provider is not our employer. Our provider is not our talent. Our provider is not our creativity. Our provider is not our spouse. Our provider is not our retirement account. Our provider is not any of the things that you and I, if we're not careful, can come to rely on. We have to realize that whatever it is that supplies for us, God is the source of that supply, right? He is your provider. And sometimes what happens to us is we get so used to that provision that we forget that that provision is from God, and we start to think it's either from our own ability, our own effort, our own creativity, our employer or our company or our job or our occupation, when in fact, God is our provider. And so one of the great stories in the Old Testament is found in 1 Kings chapter 17. It's a story about Elijah. And Elijah is like one of my favorite characters in the Bible. We did a series on Elisha, but before Elisha, there was Elijah. And Elijah was, he was the consummate prophet. And I say that because when Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration, who is it that appears with him? It is Moses and it is Elijah. Moses representing the law, Elijah representing the prophets. The law and the prophets forecast, foretold the coming of the Messiah, Jesus. That's why they were there on the mount when Jesus was transfigured and the glory inside shone on the outside. And when the apostles saw it, they fainted. And so Elijah is a very significant prophet. And Elijah comes on the scene. We don't really know much about him. He comes on the scene during the reign of one of Israel, the nation of Israel's most wicked kings, a king by the name of Ahab. His wife is Jezebel. And let's pick it up, chapter 17, verse 1. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead. So really what you have is he's a nobody from nowhere that God uses in an extraordinary way. I don't care where you're from. I don't care how well connected or disconnected you are from things. God delights in using ordinary people and doing extraordinary things with them. And Elijah is an ordinary person who does extraordinary things. We know he's ordinary because James in chapter 5 says Elijah was a man just like us. The word in the Greek is homopephes. Homo meaning the same, pephes. He had the same substance. He was human. He had emotions. He got discouraged. He got afraid. He ran from Jezebel. He wanted to quit. All the things that you and I might encounter in our life, he encountered. He was a man just like us, but he was a man who prayed that it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. That's amazing. Rain stops because an ordinary man prays with great faith. Not only prays with great faith, but in the scripture is he prayed earnestly. He prayed in his praying. There's a prayer that doesn't pray. There's a prayer that's lethargic, that's lazy, that's just kind of lofting things up there to see what sticks. That's the kind of prayer that begs God not to answer it. But when you and I, when we are fervent, when you and I are focused, when you and I are calling on God from the bottom and the depth of our heart in accordance with what we know to be the will of God, then our prayer is powerful. James draws this conclusion. the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. It's powerful and effective. So here's Elijah. And he said to Ahab, the Israel king, the king of Israel, as the Lord God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years, except at my word. So that's 3.5 years. No rain. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan. You'll drink from the brook, and I've ordered the ravens to feed you there. Now, this is a very interesting thing because, I mean, God knows that Ahab will try to kill Elijah, which is exactly what happened. So God hides him by this brook. He says, I got a brook there. Now, how are you going to have a brook in a time when there's no rain? This is, it almost seems counterintuitive, and yet this brook is going to run for a while. And then here's Elijah, and he's a righteous man, so we assume that he's observing the dietary laws that God handed down in the law. And one of the things, you don't touch unclean animals, or you don't touch something that something unclean has touched, but ravens are unclean. So God is saying, listen, I'm going to provide for you from a brook, even though it's not going to rain, and I'm going to provide by sending ravens who are going to feed you. Now, for a lot of you, that would have been the end of your story. Because what you would have done is you'd have said, well, I don't understand that. And I'm not going to some brook in the middle of nowhere and expect birds to feed me. I feed the birds, they don't feed me, right? I mean, that's, you know, some of you are too logical for your own good. You're too married to your understanding or your need to understand to really step out in faith and say, if God said it, I'm about it, I'm gonna do it. It may not make sense, but if God has said it to my heart, I'm gonna obey. The reason why some people don't see God's provision in their life is because God's trying to provide. They're just not listening and they're not following what God says. Here's Elijah. He did what the Lord had told him. God says, this is what I want you to do. This is the key to Elijah. He is the first prophet to do a series outside of Moses of miracles. He will do, depending on how you count them, 8 miracles. Elisha will do 16, twice as much, because remember, he asked for the double anointing. So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan, and he stayed there, and the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. I mean, so he has a falafel in the morning, he's got French dip in the evening, and he drank from the brook. I mean, they're feeding him. And this is going on, and God is providing. And Elisha is there. And then all of a sudden, we don't know how long the ravens brought him food, but we read this in verse 7. Sometime later, the brook dried up. So we'd expect that. You're praying for it not to rain. Some of you have been praying, and here's the thing. Some of you are praying for certain things in your life. You're praying for God to bless you. You're praying for God to bring you provision. He hasn't brought you yet. And then all of a sudden, it's like the brook dries up, and you're like, because you got the pink slip. You didn't get the promotion. Your spouse is offered a job somewhere else. All of a sudden, things aren't working where you used to get along with people. Now you got a new supervisor, is not going good. And you're like, I don't like my job and I would really like to find a different job. And you're thinking, well, but if I leave, how's this going to work? And you're thinking all these things through and you're humanly trying to think it through. But God is at work because you've been praying and God is answering your prayer, but he's answering it in a way you never would have imagined. One of the things about the provision of God is God provides in unique ways. Who would have ever thought of ravens feeding a prophet? But here he is, and he is in a place where the brook's dried up. And for some of you tonight, that's where you're at. Your brook's dried up. You were praying for something, it hasn't happened, and now you find yourself wondering what to do, wondering where to go. Something you've been counting on has not happened. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe the company is downsizing. Maybe you're in a situation where your job is tied to a certain part of the economy. And now with the things that are happening in Iran, you're like, this is making it really difficult. Sooner or later, every single one of us goes through times in life where the brook dries up. And here's the reason why. God is less concerned about our comfort than he is about our growing in knowledge of him. God wants, he's got you and I on a journey. God wants to grow us. God wants to show us the things we've never seen him do before in our life. The way he can provide. The way he can go before us. And we err if we forget that faith is a journey. We're on a journey of faith. We're on a journey of growing in God. And he takes us from glory to glory. And he's a God who likes new things along the way. And he loves to show us what he can do. And he's never going to let us think we've got him figured out. So I'm going to give you two thoughts just on God's provision. When you need provision, get a word from God. When you need provision, get a word from God. Look at this in verse 8. I love this. Then the word of the Lord came to him. I want to suggest to you that in any crisis we ever face, there's a word from the Lord for us. If you're facing a crisis tonight, there's a word from the Lord for you. If you don't know what to do, there is a word from the Lord for you. God is a God who speaks. My experience has been that he especially speaks in times of need when the brook has dried up. So the real issue is, have you asked yourself, God, what are you saying to me? What is it that you're doing? Is there something you're doing here that I had not thought of, anticipated, and I still don't know what it is, but you've interrupted my life as it was. And rather than resenting that, rather than panicking, look at it as saying, God is up to something. So God, I know you're up to something. I know you love me. And so God, what is it that you are saying to me? You have to stop and listen to his voice. In verse 9, we read this, go at once. So the word of the Lord comes to him, and you get the idea from the passage. Things are moving really fast. Because when you're walking with God, God is taking you on a journey and God wants to speak to you. Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. The first thing that God is telling Elijah is your old source is no longer your source. Because God wants him to understand that always he is Elijah's source. And the human, the physical source can change, but the spiritual source always stays the same. And what happens to a lot of people, it's sad when people can't let go of what God has done in the past. They're so linked to that. This is how God speaks to me. This is how God provides for me. This is how God works in my life. Here's the problem with that thinking. You think you've got God figured out, and God's not going to let anybody live there. And so some people go without. They go without spiritual growth. They go without new provision. They go without the blessing that could have been theirs. They go without growing in the Lord. Why? Because they are so committed to the past, they can't move forward into what God has for them. How would, and I mean, when you think of this, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon. That's a real problem. And find a widow I've commanded in that place. How is he going to find a widow? Do you see this? I mean, there's a ton of questions. Why would he send him to Sidon? I'm going to show you in a moment why that would not make human sense. How is he going to find a widow? Here's the principle. Obey the general will of God, and he will show you the specific will of God. See, a lot of people want answers rather than obedience. They don't want to step out there until I know, I'm just not doing it. And they think that's responsible when really what it is disobedience. We can name our human actions a lot of things, but if it's anything less than obedience to God, it is disobedience. Call it being responsible, call it being cautious, call it being careful. But if God says go and you don't, you're not obeying him, and you cannot expect to know the details of what he's going to do when you won't follow the general direction of what he's told you to do. So God has new ways of providing, and we're going to find those out when number two, we exercise faith, because faith is the key to experiencing God's blessing. In Elijah's case, God provided a widow in Zarephath, but there are two problems with this provision. Number one, Zarephath was in Sidon. The king of Sidon was a man by the name of Ethbaal, and you can read about him in chapter 16 of 1 Kings. Ethbaal means with Baal, with Baal, the pagan fertility god. So he was a pagan man, and he had a daughter named Jezebel. We call her Jezebel, but it's the root is Zebul, which is god of the flies. Baal was the god of the flies. Her name combined is God. Baal is exalted. So what God is doing is he's sending Elijah into enemy territory. King Ahab is married to Jezebel. You've heard of the Bible Belt, right? Springfield's in the Bible Belt. Sidon was in the Baal Belt. In fact, Sidon was the capital. It was the buckle on the Baal Belt. Why would God do that? God is still teaching Elijah something he wants all of us to learn. And that is, he can provide for us in any circumstance, in any place, no matter what our external circumstances are like. His provision is not dependent upon the economy. His provision is not dependent upon your employer. His provision is not dependent upon your bank account. His provision is not dependent upon all the things that we have a tendency to rely on. And every now and then, God is going to send us into a place and let us experience his provision in a supernatural way to show us he is the God who can provide anywhere, anytime, any way. He can do it in the most unlikely ways and the most unlikely places. So he sends him to Sidon, and then there's a widow he's sending him to, and the widow has nothing to provide for him. Now, here's what's interesting. She's a widow in Sidon. So we know this. We know that she's pagan. So now she's unclean, because in the Jewish way of thinking, he's a righteous man again. Just as the raven was unclean, the widow is unclean because she's pagan. A righteous Jewish person would not stay with a pagan widow and eat a pagan widow's food. It wouldn't be kosher. It wouldn't be right. But what I want you to notice is what God is doing is God is working on Elijah in a way, and I think this is part of the lesson we want to get out of this. Never lose sight of your past when God is leading you to your future. What did he learn in his past? That sometimes God uses unconventional and, could we say, unclean things to provide. And God may do that again. Sometimes he's taught us something in the past and we're like, well, that was just for the past. And no, God is getting us ready. The ravens got him ready for the widow. What God did in your past, if you can look at it, and the problem is sometimes we look at our past and you can look at the past and say, well, I did okay there, but I didn't do good there. And we can discount parts of our past either because they were uncomfortable, because they were painful, or because maybe at that season we were disobedient. And what God wants us to do is to learn from our past and to learn about who he is and how he worked in our life. What does it say about you serving God today when you had the worst past in terms of sinfulness you could possibly have? It tells you he's a God of grace who loves people. And if he loved you then, he loves you now. If he thought enough of you to take care of you and save you then, he's going to take care of you now. Don't forget the lessons of your past as you're moving forward. So verse 10, we read this. So he went to Zarephath. Now this is really interesting because in verse 9, God tells him, go at once to Zarephath. So he went to Zarephath. You know, I mean, he could have said, you know, God, listen, the ravens was a stretch for me. And I wasn't sure how that was going to work, but, you know, fair enough. But now I'm running from a king whose wife serves Baal, and now you're sending me to the center of Baal worship. And you're sending me to her father. And if the son-in-law's looking for me, how much more is the father going to want to come after me? I mean, this doesn't make any sense. If I'm going to hide, how about I go as far away from them as I can, not as close to them as I can? See, a lot of times people, this is the thing I love about Elijah. God says it, he does it. We saw that Sunday. God said it to Abraham, Abraham did it. Faith obeys immediately. And the longer you wait to obey, the harder it will be to obey. I think this is something that people of faith understand. Better to act quickly than to sit and think about it, because the longer you think about it, the more impossible it's going to be, the harder it's going to be to do if you end up doing it at all. Now back to verse 10. So he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked. So how does he know she's a widow? Well, in that time, widows wore a certain kind of garment that would indicate to people who saw them, it would speak to them of their loss and their status, and in many cases, their need for alms if they were destitute, which in most cases, they were. So he can see by her garment that she's a widow. She's out there gathering sticks by the city gate. God said, I'm sending you to a widow. And he says, that must be the widow. Again, when you pursue the general will of God, you will discover the specific will of God. So he goes there in verse 11. And as she was going to get it, he called, bring me, please, a piece of bread. And as surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in the jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Perfect opportunity for Elijah to say, are you serious? Really? You've sent me to Sidon, a dangerous city, and now she has nothing. But he doesn't criticize God's plan. He doesn't say, I don't understand why God's making me do this. I don't understand why God doesn't do this. I don't understand why God doesn't do that. See, a lot of people, what happens is at that moment, when you say, I don't understand, and you start vocalizing your disagreement with God's plan, what you're doing is you're complaining and you're literally cutting yourself off from the grace of God working in your life. Some of you have complained over your circumstances instead of leaning in and saying, God, what are you saying and where are you leading? And I'm all about it. Elijah's very clear. He asks her, would you bring me a little water in a jug? And then could you make me something to eat? And she says, hey, I don't have anything. Verse 13, and Elijah said to her, don't be afraid, go home. Do as you have said, but first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. Let me just say this. For this widow who does not know the Lord, this is a huge step of faith. But it's not unlike some of you who, and again, I'm not talking down to you, I'm trying to coach you up. The key to God's provision in your life, you can actually give yourself, you can give your way out of a financial predicament. I have done that myself. I've done it in several different ways. I'm just telling you, you can be faithful. You be faithful to God, God will be faithful to you. But some of you, if the widow says, you know what, listen, now wait a minute, what you're saying makes zero sense. I know how much meal I have. I've watched the flour go down. I've watched the oil go down. And I don't have enough for you, buddy. I've got enough for me. I've got enough for my son. And my son's probably going to get most of it. And so guess what? You don't get any. You get a drink of water, but that's it for you. Because I can't do it. If she does that, she's going to be dead in a couple weeks. She's going to run out of everything. You see, it didn't make sense to give. It didn't make sense that if she gave what she had, she would have more. And can I just tell you, that's tithing? Doesn't make sense. I don't understand how God can do more, how God can stretch the 90% in my life more. I need my whole 100%. No, listen, you give God his, the tithe is the Lord's, it's not yours in the first place, but you give it to him. And when you do that, then God says, I'm gonna work miraculously in their life because they put me first. That's this. Some of you are missing the provision of God because you're not faithful with your finances relative to your giving to the Lord. And that's a really critical part of God being your provider. Somebody read, I think it was David read the testimony of somebody who was gonna pay their back tithe. That's between them and God. I would never ask somebody to do that, but I would tell people, start now. Start now, see what God will do. But here is Elijah, and what I love about him is because he's obeyed God, he's seen God work, and what happens is his faith is strong. The person who doubts God, the person who hesitates to obey, gives into doubt, and they have a weak faith. They can't make a statement like that. But when you are walking with God and you're obedient to him, what happens is it strengthens your faith. Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. How can you go when you don't know where you're going? Well, you do the general direction, then you get the specific direction. But what happens is his faith got stronger and stronger and stronger, so that when God told him, listen, you're 99 and your wife's 90, but guess what? Next year you're gonna have a son. And he looked at his body, which was as good as dead, and his wife who was past childbearing, and he said, you know what? I don't understand how that works, but I know the one who said it, and I just thank you, Lord. He was strengthened in his faith by giving glory to God, is what Romans chapter 4 says. Listen, when you obey God and you believe what he says, you're going to see God's provision in your life. Verse 15, she went away, did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. I close with this. One man put it this way. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth. It's faith is. God, God, I believe you're telling me the truth. And when you and I, when we believe what God says, he comes through. What is God saying to you? Have you listened? Have you heard?